Welcome back to the 100th edition of Comment, the big conversation, the great debate with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, voice of the voiceless. We need your calls, we need your emails, and we need your SMS. The emails go up here on the comment wall. We want to hear points of view, especially where they differ from mine. So if you do differ, or even if you don't, hit the phones and send the texts and the emails. Let's go to Nigeria, though, and talk with Dan out there in Nigeria. Dan, welcome. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Salam.
Yes. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, you see, I want to talk about the world in general.
Okay.
And the problem the world is facing. You see, in as much as the world leader cannot give proper definition to the present or the past problem, we can never have a solution to anything. For example, we have problems even in Nigeria, the Niger Delta, who are fighting for their rights because of the oil spillage. I'm sure if the people of Niger Delta being a Muslim, they will have called them Islamic fundamentalists. They will have given them Islamic terrorists. I watched even the press TV today when the deputy prime minister or whatever talking about what is happening in Somalia about the piracy. He was saying they were connected to the Al-Qaeda, which is a bloody lie. If the country is not stable, what do you expect? But instead of it to give it a proper definition, he said these people are connected to Al-Qaeda. Before Al-Qaeda has been in existence, there has been ship piracy in the coast of Somalia. The same thing happening in the world of Israel and the Palestinians today. What do they expect from a child or from somebody whom the father was killed, the family were killed by the Israelite bombs, their home were destroyed? Do you want that child to be a friend of America, or you want that child to do anything and even kill whomever it can kill in Israel?
Well, Dan, that's very powerful, I must say. And I would add to the point that you made that the United States, Britain and Israel collaborated together to wipe the little boy's country off the map. Because Palestine, of course, is the only country in that region which has been wiped off the map, for all the talk that we get about threats to do the same to so-called Israel, which were never, of course, made, because the Iranian president said that he wished to wipe Zionism, which is an ideology, not a religion, not a people, not a country, an ideology. Wipe Zionism off the page of history, just like, he said, Nazism and Soviet communism had been wiped off the page of history before it. But hey, why let the facts stand in the way of a good story? Good call, Dan, in Nigeria. Let's go to the comment wall on our 100th edition and take this email from Greg in Kent. What kind of sick, twisted democracy gives nothing to a party that won 250 seats, but gave power to a party who came third? Well, actually, New Labour got more seats than it ought to have got for the less than 30% of the vote that it obtained. The Liberal Democrats got 57 seats for 23% of the vote. That's 57 for 23% of the vote, whilst Labour got more than 250 for 29.8% of the vote. The point is, our whole electoral system stinks. If you get 30% of the vote, you should get 30% of the seats in Parliament. No more, no less. And you should have to make agreements with other people to make yourself up to a majority in the Parliament. And if the Parliament changes its mind about you, it must have the right to do so without a gerrymandered, rigged system over the no-confidence issue. Let's stay on the comment wall and take Sean from Swansea. The two lovers are right now deciding how to best screw the country into position. The question to you, George, is will Nick last for longer than 2 minutes? I think that this coalition will last. I know that that's not a common view. It's not a view held by New Labour. It's not a view held by people who actually are expressing their wishful thinking rather than their considered analysis of it. I think it will last because they have swept away the things, almost all of them at the Liberal Democrats' expense, that divided the two parties. And they're actually united on the main things that they're now going to pursue, preeminent of which, as I said, is the cut in public services. Let's go to Shabby in Tower Hamlets. Go ahead, Shabby.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you, sir. Welcome.
I'm sorry about my English is a little poor. I hope you will understand me.
I understand you very well. Thank you.
Okay, sir. My two questions, both are very brief. First of all, I will ask you about your personal question, because this is my first time watching your program, and I found you very, very good. Presenter, and my question about this is that why can't you apply similar job with national television station like ITV or BBC, and you will be a very good person like Brian Waldoon used to be. This is my first question.
Thank you.
And second question is, do you think that this Liberal and Tory alliance will be able to reduce the deficit, which is main subject at the moment?
Well, I must say, Shabby, two excellent questions. At least I thought the first was excellent. Forgive me if that sounds immodest. I have always greatly admired Brian Waldoon as a television presenter, so to be compared by you to him is quite an honor for me. I didn't fancy him much politically, but he was a brilliant television presenter. And now that I'm no longer a Member of Parliament, after 23 years, I'm available for work. But I must tell you that I don't consider working for Press TV any less valuable than working for BBC or ITV, because I'm free here to speak my mind, which I would not be on those stations. And Press TV is the voice of the voiceless, whilst ITV and BBC are the voice of the powerful who keep the voiceless down. So I'm proud to be a presenter here on Press TV. And by the way, more and more people are tuning into us. Sky 515, remember that? 515. And get your friends to tune in too. I think this deficit is being exaggerated. It's a smaller deficit than we had at the end of the Second World War. In the 1945 to 51 period, we had a bigger deficit than we have now. But in those years, we built the National Health Service, took control of vast national industries, and built hundreds of thousands of council houses every year. We spent our way out of that deficit, out of that recession, after the war. Of course, the war economy had to be demobilized. There was a real possibility of a return to the 1930s depression. But it didn't happen because the Labour government then decided to apply Keynesian principles and to invest their way out of the economic difficulties. So I believe that it's, first of all, exaggerated. Secondly, the British economy has already moved back into growth. Thirdly, so less like Greece are we than it's possible to imagine that earlier in the week when the British government sold its government bonds, so-called gilts, on the international market, not only was there a take-up, it was oversubscribed. In other words, people were literally queuing to lend money to the British government. That's before we knew the government, by the way, was David Cameron and Nick Clegg. So I believe the whole thing is exaggerated. In any case, I believe that the working people have already paid, that the City of London and the bankers and the capitalist system which caused this crisis are the people who should pay for it, not the ordinary people of this country. But thank you, Shabby, for an excellent call. Let's go to Kay in London on the Middle East. Kay, welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Galloway from the Respect Party.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I want to talk about the Middle East regarding some of your comments you made about Israel.
Yes.
I just want to say I respectively disagree in some of the comments regarding Israel.
That's good. I want people to phone up and disagree, so go ahead.
Yeah. Israel is, to me, as a set a model for the Middle East. The Palestinians should unite and build courts, build prison places, start up revamp their grassroots and levels, and build change the textbooks, the way they preach hatred and anti-Semitism against Israelis and other people. They should integrate a lot and join people, join forces, join other cultural groups, motivate communities as well, and integrate. The blacks have been oppressed long time, and nobody's talking about this. Everybody is integrating in the Western world and everywhere. We're all integrating. But Arabs don't want to integrate. They feel their own religion is supersedes every other.
What's their religion? What religion do you mean? Which one are you referring to?
They feel Islam supersedes.
Can I just stop you for a moment? Did you know that a very considerable number of Palestinians were in fact Christians? Did you know that?
I don't know that.
No, because you're actually profoundly ignorant of that which you nonetheless feel able to phone a television station and opine. You didn't know that the Palestinians living in Galilee, have you ever heard of Galilee K? You didn't know that they were Christians? You didn't know that the Palestinians living in Bethlehem K? Ever heard of Bethlehem? You didn't know that they were Christians? You didn't know that many of the Palestinians in Jerusalem? Ever heard of Jerusalem, Kay? You didn't know that they were Christians? Isn't it the case, Kay, that you just have an anti-Muslim agenda, which is why you make such an error and why you come on with such a pile of nonsense as that call? Tell me. Kay.
Mr. Galloway.
Answer me.
My question goes to the Arab League. The Arab League is the weakest link in this triangle. They should push the Palestinians for unity and for them to sign a peace agreement with Israel and start building...
But the Palestinians did sign an agreement with Israel at Oslo in 1994, and this is 2010. Where is the agreement? Where is the Palestinian state? Or perhaps you didn't know that either. Now look, I want people to phone up who disagree with me, but they really should be worthy of the fight. This is a man who didn't know that many Palestinians were Christians, and didn't appear to know that the Palestinians had already signed an agreement with Israel, and a fat lot of good that it did them. Well, that's got my blood coursing now. Let's talk to Ali in London. Go ahead, Ali. Ali, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Georgie. Just wanted to contest what your last caller said, you know, the guy with the girly name. Yeah, this is just typical of individuals such as, and no doubt he himself is probably a Christian, or maybe a Christian by name. But anyhow, just also wanted to say that I do agree with you when you say, with regards to the coalition, that it might, you know, work, but at the same time, it might not do, which wouldn't be surprising. But the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think there's much difference between David Cameron and your Tricky Nicky, Thick Nick, and your Brown Nose Gordon. They're all the same. These mainstream political parties, I don't see the difference between any of them. They're all colonialist, you know, imperialist, pro-Zionist. And, you know, most of them are just lapdogs of the corporate world. So I can only see things getting worse. I don't see any future.
Well, of course, things will only get worse if we don't stand up and oppose them and organize to change them, Ali. That's the one difference I might have with the prevailing sentiment that you expressed. I'm not prepared to take it lying down. I intend to stand up and oppose. And as long as God gives me breath, I'll use any platform that I can find, whether it's on the street, whether it's on television, whether it's on radio or in newspapers, or in debates at the Oxford Union or wherever it may be, I will argue for justice. And moreover, I'll argue that the policy of injustice is doomed and going to bring about disaster for the world. It's not just that justice is better, it's that injustice is going to prove disastrous. Let's go back to Nigeria and talk to Samuel on the UK election. Samuel, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, George, sir, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, George, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Yeah. Your views on both the Labour, the outgoing Prime Minister, and the incoming one, you seem to have an axe to grind with all of them.
Well, I do. I do, Samuel. I would have preferred... I would have preferred Gordon Brown to continue rather than be replaced by David Cameron and Nick Clegg. And my second choice would have been a coalition between Gordon Brown and Nick Clegg. The worst possible combination for me and the people whose interests I try to represent is what we've got now, Cameron and Clegg. So I do have an axe to grind with all of them, but the axe is sharper with what we've got now.
Your views on Palestine and a lot of other things internationally, don't you think it's what cost you your own position? Don't you think that that is what cost you your own election?
I have no idea. But do you really think of me, Samuel, that I would change my views and change my positions in order to win an election? How cheap do you think I am? I hold the views that I hold because I believe them. And I've always believed them, long before I ever stood in an election. And the last word on my lips on this earth, I promise you, will be Palestine, whether it costs me every election for the rest of my life or not. Let's go to Hassan in London on the British political situation. Hassan, welcome.
Yes, good evening, George. It's lovely to have you back.
Thank you, I'm enjoying it.
After these few weeks, we didn't have the pleasure to have you for the last 3 weeks, but it's nice to have you back.
Very kind, thanks.
Number one, there is a few points I would like to make, George. It's the United Nations divided a country called Palestine, and the United Kingdom, or the British, left a country called Palestine. And I don't know what it called now.
Yeah, you don't know what happened to it. The name just disappeared.
It disappeared from the map. United Nations is at fault here for dividing this country for a start, and United Kingdom. And point number two, I'd like to have to put your comment in that. All the new boys, the conservatives, all the old boys. They belong to the old Union Lodge. I wonder if the law allowed these people to be on the organization, which is I don't know what organization is, the Masonic organization. Most of the conservatives that are belong to the Masonic Lodge, which is one thing which is I assume they're not allowed to. And number two. Number two is the emergency law, which is Egypt have now imposed again for the last 30 years, or the next 2 years, I don't know. I would like to see in the whole of the Middle East, the Nicolae Ceausescu's style for all these leaders in the Arab world.
Well, look, I'll leave your latter point for another night, if I may, because there's a lot of callers on the issues that are on the agenda tonight, though you probably know I have some sympathy for the point that you made. Let me tell you that of all the vices and all the crimes that have been and will be committed by the Conservatives and by their Liberal Democrat allies, being Freemasons is pretty low on the list. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic from Irish immigrant stock in Scotland, so I've got no reason to love Freemasons. But you're perfectly entitled to be a Freemason. There's nothing illegal about it, and it certainly isn't a barrier to office. Although being a Catholic still is a barrier to certain offices in this country. Try marrying one of the royal family if you're a Roman Catholic, although who'd be foolish enough to want to do that? Let's go to Dinesh in London on the coalition issue. Dinesh, welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Okay, I've got a very quick question for you.
Good.
Nick Clegg and David Cameron has got different views on Israel and Palestine. Now, what do you think, how will they work together toward that situation there?
The Tory view will prevail. William Hague is the Foreign Secretary, and David Cameron is the Prime Minister. End of story, really.
But now, the Lib Dem are with them together in the same government, so they will have some sort of influence towards Israel or not?
I don't believe they'll have any influence at all about anything of importance. It's a Tory government with a Liberal Democrat lipstick on its face. Nick Clegg's job will effectively be as a PR man, handing out teas and coffees. No, the policy on Palestine is going to get worse, not better. Let's go to Mohammed in Leeds. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Thank you.
Quickly, Mohammed. Unfortunately, we lost Mohammed just as we were running out of time. So let's see if we can get another caller up on the line. We're talking about this coalition deal. Mohammed, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, in their address to the nation on why the Lib Dem and Tories formed their coalition, it was claimed that they did it in the national interest. Please, will you help clarify how these two parties define what is the national interest? Also, we were made to know, believe, that the imposition of their coalition was dictated by market forces, with the city closely monitoring political development. And, what does this portend to democracy in the United
States? Well, Mohammed, you must be telepathic, because I was just thinking that I hadn't dealt with these positions. First of all, the nation doesn't have an interest. Everybody within the nation and certain classes and sections of the nation have different, indeed contradictory, interests. The interests of the bankers in the City of London are not the same as the interests of the redundant steel workers in Redcar, who've just been thrown on the scrap heap when their factory closed. I'll come back to the other points that you make, because I must go all the way to China to hear from Issa in China. It may be the first time that China has been on the show. Issa, welcome.
Well, good evening, Mr.
Good evening.
How are you?
Very well. Go ahead quickly.
I want to know what the United Nations, United UN is doing about Israel. How come they will be impressing the Palestinian people and nobody is saying anything about it?
Well, the United Nations is doing nothing. In fact, the United Nations personnel were killed in the Israeli bombardment of Gaza. The United Nations food stores were set on fire by the Israeli Air Force during the war on Gaza. United Nations convoys were fired upon and the vehicles destroyed by the Israeli Air Force and Army during the war on Gaza. The United Nations commissioned a report, the Goldstone Report, which found Israel guilty of crimes against humanity and offenses against the laws of war. And the United Nations didn't do a thing about it. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. And if it was, join me again next week at the same time. Until then, may you go in peace.